I just turn it on. Okay. Got it figured out?
No.
Need some help?
Let me see
here. How y'all doing?
We're doing great.
It's just family here today, huh?
Maybe you should help your wife.
Yeah.
Jim, I think you're less than, you're about 4 inches too close to Rhonda there. You know, so. Kick, you'll be like on the airplane, kicking the back of the seat.
So where do I go?
Let's figure it out again. Let's see here. Okay.
Oh, no, this is...
We did the live thing, right?
Yeah, so I guess we can't do a create an event.
Start live video.
Okay, I'll start when you're up there.
Okay. Hey, where is that toilet paper? Let me see it real fast. The toilet paper. Let me see it. Tell me when we're starting.
Yeah,
I'm not. Okay. That was pretty good, by the way.
Little whiteboard here. Hold on. I was trying to see if I can bring this down. So let me see
Go ahead.
Hold on.
All right. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
For those, the vast majority of our family, our fellowship family is at home watching. Welcome to everybody. I don't want to call you by name because I'll miss somebody, and there's too many of you. So I hope you're enjoying your quarantine. But I was very encouraged to hear Brother... Well, I would call him brother, but Governor Kemp say that houses of worship were able to meet, and that's why we're here today. We are practicing this proper distance between people, so rest assured. But if you missed the Torah portion, this was Brother Elling. As you can read, it says, wipe away all fear. But it reminded me of another pastor, not me, but another pastor online a few days ago that says, if you've been hoarding toilet paper, don't forget, tithing hasn't been done away with. You owe him 1/10 of all your toilet paper. So, true story. I thought it was kind of funny. But today, we're going to talk about Passover then and now. Meaning Passover of the Scriptures and Passover today, because next week we are entering into the season of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. And with uncertain times, too often we get all into the fear aspect of it, and we get too caught up into the things that just bring us down, so I thought we would start today with a little levity. Is that okay? So we're going to start out with a few anecdotes that have been floating around that I thought quite amusing. And one of them said, yes, I am concerned about my family members and my relatives, but even more important, has anyone let the Amish know what's going on? Okay. Two people got that one. They don't do radio and TV, so they have no clue, right? One person stated a side effect of the quarantine is it's no longer easy to end a phone call. I can't say I have to run. No place to go, right? You're stuck in your house. Someone else posted, if you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a 14-day quarantine, you probably should have seen the doctor long before coronavirus. And this was kind of cute. Day one for a quarantine prepper. I am proud to say I have several years of supplies to ride this out and never leave my home no matter how long it goes. Day two of the quarantine for a prepper. I am at the grocery store due to my craving for a Twix bar. So, all the preparation doesn't quite prepare you, does it? And finally, the last one, it says, a man went in for a test to see if he got the virus, and the doctor looked him in the eye and says, I'm sorry to tell you, you do have the coronavirus. And he said, that's impossible. I have 500 rolls of toilet paper at home. So, a little humor is okay, right? We have to look at things in light because I do believe that my Father in heaven is a God of laughter. And I think laughter can do us some good, especially at a time when many people have kind of forgotten how to laugh. Doesn't mean we don't think that this was it's a serious thing that's going around, but it is. But today we're going to actually talk about the Passover, and we're going to try to tie it into today's events and how we can learn from it. But first, what are some of the reasons that Passover is so important for us today? In our fellowship family, we have a lot of people who are new to this walk. A few of our friends that may be listening outside of the fellowship family have never experienced a Passover before. And the reason it's important is because all of us, and I mean all of us, Christians, Messianics, Jews, it doesn't matter, have been in our past, if not currently today, have been slaves to sin. We've all been slaves to sin. What God rescued them out of Egypt was is to pull them out of that slavery to sin and give them a free life in the promised land. And that's what we're called to. And our promised land lays ahead of us. All of us need the blood of Yeshua to be on the doorposts of our heart. It's the protection from the death that will come when we are all resurrected and we have to face the judgment day. If we have that blood on our hearts, that is what will get us through. Not how good we were, not how many things we did right or wrong, but the evidence of that is that we try to honor Him and please Him. Number three, all of us have been redeemed by that blood. Do you realize that the blood of Yeshua Messiah was for every living human being? Now, not all will take the choice or make the choice to put that onto their hearts, to put it onto the doorposts of your heart, so to speak. It's a choice we have to make. But that blood was for everybody that would choose it. And all of us have the assurance of salvation if we simply remain faithful to the end. So, if you've never celebrated Passover before, if you're not sure how you can get started doing it, today's message is really not going to be about how to keep the Passover. We've got 4 or 5 years of past messages on the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover that not only myself but our other elders have done. So please look those up or call us or email if you're looking for specific instructions. Today, we're going to talk about how the Passover relates to what we're going through today. And this is kind of a message I put together all yesterday and today because I kind of pushed aside the message I had planned. I figure we'll get back to the teaching of what did Yeshua really say in a few weeks or a month or so. But right now, people need to understand how things are playing out and how they could affect us. And more importantly, how can we be a positive light in this circumstance? So, we have a virus, and it's creating fear, pain, anxiety, worry, uncertainty, and frustration, just to name a few things. Maybe everybody doesn't experience that, but there's a lot of people that are experiencing those things. So my question that I was asking myself, and I'll ask you, is are these feelings anything that have ever been experienced before? Or are we so naive to think we are the only generation who's ever had fear, anxiety, and pain? See, many will say, I've never experienced anything like this, and you may be right. But the scripture is filled with things like this that are given to us as an example so that we could learn. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were written down as a warning for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. And I would say to you, it's dangerous to say when the exact fulfillment of the ages is coming, but can we not open our eyes and say it's got to be getting close? It's at least approaching at a much quicker pace. So another question we can ask ourselves, are we heeding these warnings? Are we heeding the warnings that are written down in the scriptures for us? See, a warning is something that is a benefit, but it's not a benefit unless you heed it, right? Somebody, if it says warning can cause electrocution, you go, oh, I wonder what that feels like. The warning did no good, did it? Toxic, do not drink. Oh, I'm protected. We have to heed the warnings. So as we look at the warnings in Scripture, we have to make sure we follow them and use them because God put them there for our benefit. Amen? Daniel 7:25 reminds us that the anti-Messiah will wear out the saints. Another version says it will harass the saints. Revelation 12:17 promises us that the anti-Messiah is going to come after those who have the testimony of Yeshua and who keep his commandments. So we know we're going to endure much worse in the real tribulation to come. And many of you say, well, why are you bringing this up? And I'd say, because if 2 weeks of quarantine has got you on edge and you can't stand the people that you love and you live with, how are you going to make it through the end times? You know, your wife and your kids are home with, they love you. She wouldn't have married you if she didn't love you. Your kids adore you. They're looking up to you. They're looking for hope. If you're worrying about toilet paper and that's causing you anxiety, how are you going to survive what's coming? And a lot of people are so stuck on these different things that we've become accustomed to, myself included, don't think that I'm exempting myself. We have certain luxuries in life that we're accustomed to. Anytime I'm talking to somebody, I want to look up a word in Hebrew, pop to my phone, boom, 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 and I've got the Hebrew word or the Greek word right at my fingertips. Some people go, oh no, what am I going to do? I've got an automatic iPhone upgrade. I'm due for the iPhone 12. See, these are the things that it's time we start learning. They aren't that important in the scheme of what's going on around, is it? Is it really important if we get a new car in 2 years? Is it really important if our iPhones are up to date? Is it really important if we have internet? Yes, there are convenience. Yes, it would be challenging to learn life without them, but you know what? For 6,000 plus years, they've got by without any of those things. And they all seem to manage, so I think we can do it. And I'm going to close that portion by saying this. I think we all, starting with myself, we all have a lot of maturing to do. Because what I read in the scriptures is, we are to remain faithful to the end. And that means between now and wherever the end is, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. And you know what? We shouldn't really get too caught up in it, because all the worrying in the world is not going to change anything anyway, right? Amen. So let's take a look at what the children of Israel went through and see how that can apply to us today. Because I would submit to you, we've become soft. And many times when we read about the children of Israel and their departure from Egypt, we often find ourselves going, oh, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they're backbiting. 2 days ago they saw the Red Sea part and here they are complaining. Be careful. Your spouse may remind you how you were complaining 2 days ago. You didn't do that to me, honey, but I'm just saying. So we're going to take a look at these examples written in Scripture, because a lot of us pretend like this was for the past generations, but I would submit to you it's for this generation, and possibly more for us than ever before. So flip over to Exodus chapter 4 if you'd like. We're going to be staying primarily in Exodus the rest of the day. And while you're turning to Exodus chapter 4, they had been slaves in Egypt. They had a life of hardship. And it's highly likely, I would submit to you that it's highly likely, we can't prove it, but most of this generation had heard the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had heard the promises that were given to Abraham about the land of Canaan. They had heard all of the prophecies about how they were supposed to be this group of people that was favored by the Almighty. But is it possible to feel like that's a reality, or it's going to be a possibility in your life when you're a slave? When you're in the midst of probably a turmoil that we can't comprehend? They knew the prophecies, but what do you think is really going on through their mind as they're working probably 7 days a week? I highly doubt Pharaoh said, yeah, okay, you can have Sabbath off. I doubt it. We aren't told, so we don't know. I'm not going to teach it as a truth. But do you think that maybe that they had some despair, anger, and frustration going on? I know I would, and it's okay to admit that. Do you think they had any fear, any pain, any worry about their children and the next generations? I don't know about you, but if I was there, I would have. Moses and Aaron show up, and Moses shares the word that God had given him. And in verse 31 it says, and the people believed. And when they heard that Jehovah had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshipped. They bowed their heads and they worshipped. They believed the word of Moses for one night. Finally, there's hope in their life. They're going to be delivered. They're going to receive the promises that were given to their ancestors. But before a single plague happens, the very next day, Pharaoh doubles down on their duty and gives them no straw. They got to go get it for themselves. And what do? They take out their anger and their frustration on Moses. Isn't that what we do? The second it doesn't go the way we think, hallelujah, I had a dream last night. God called me. And he's asked me to do something. And then everything you think is going to happen doesn't go that way. Doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. And all of a sudden, you're giving up before it's even started. Plague one hasn't even happened. As the plagues start, we clearly see that the first three plagues don't happen, to everybody. Egypt and to Israel in the land of Goshen. The water being turned into blood meant there was a lot more work to get water. It says they dug along the side of the Nile. If you've ever watched any of the Prepper show, you got to dig along the side of the water to get that filter water coming through. Very painstaking to get water. Frogs all over the land and the stench and the cleanup, that was going on in Goshen as well. And then the gnats. The gnats were everywhere, including Goshen. Now listen, I don't know about you. I get 30 gnats around me and I look like I'm insane. Right? You start spitting and flailing and jumping all over. People think you're tormented by a demon. 30 gnats. Can you even imagine what these people are going through? I don't think we can imagine it, but it's very unsettling to think that all the children of Israel had to go through this. And you know what? We're not told why, and it may not be important, but it could have been their instant rebellion at the beginning. I don't know. Do you think God really wanted to just punish them with these three plagues? There is no answer for this, but I would suggest to you this, that God came to deliver them. That was his intent. And that ended up being his intent, but when he finally gets them out, what does he say? Don't think I did this because you're so righteous and holy. I did it because of the promises to your forefathers. So, there's something really important because it says in Exodus 8, it says God is separating his children from the children of Egypt. He's separating them. And we want to read this because if we go to verse 20, and I think we're still in chapter 4, although I could be wrong. It says, now Jehovah says to Moses, rise up early in the morning, present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to water and say to him, thus says Jehovah, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of insects on you and your servants and your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of insects and on the grounds in which they dwell. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that they may know, that you may know, that I, Jehovah, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign will occur. So we have two distinct things that are really important. There's more than two things, but there's two things I'm going to talk about today that are important. Especially because I truly believe that ties in with us today. Verse 22 says, on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen. And the Hebrew word is pala, and it means to be distinct, separated, distinguished, wonderful, and set apart. So, today, as children of God, as Christians, followers of Messiah, we are to be this. This is what we're supposed to be. Set apart, distinguished, different. We are supposed to be wonderful in God's eyes. See, we need to be distinct because we have to have something about us that draws people. If we're just like everybody else, how are they going to see that there's anything us they need? How are they going to see there's something that needs to be, that we need to give to them to make them like us? They got to see hope. They need to see light. They need to see that we are different. The other part of this is found in verse 23. It says, I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign will occur. And if our Hebrew students here have not already read this, I found this pretty amazing. The word for division in Hebrew is peduth, and it means ransom. So the Father is basically telling them, this is the beginning of my process to ransom you. And that's what Passover is all about. Passover is all about Yeshua being our ransom. He was the ransom for us. We deserve the death penalty. There is no question about that. Nobody that calls himself a believer of Jesus or Yeshua should ever doubt that what we deserved was death. But we don't have to endure that penalty because he ransomed us. Going back to the children of Israel, but you know, at this time he's saying, I'm ransoming you, but they're still slaves. They're just getting started with the plagues. They're still slaves, still making bricks, double duty, having to collect the straw. But here's the problem. They didn't see that God had a plan in all this. Could he have just come in and marched in with Moses, and Moses could have stretched out his arm and just laid level the palaces of Pharaoh? And they could have gone, got their stuff, packed up, and walked out. It would be logical for a general, right? If we were in the army, or if we were in the Marines, that's what we'd want to do. We would go level it, and then let's just take what we're going to take and go. But see, God has plans that aren't our plans. And this is what we need to pay attention to here today, because all of us are on our knees and joining these mass groups to pray that this thing will go away. And hey, I'm right there with you. I want this to go away too. It's not like my family's not being affected at all, but I'm also praying more specifically, God, do what you have planned to do. Allow people to grow and mature out of this. Wake up your church. Wake up the people who you have called to be fulfilling your kingdom purposes in the last days. The ones who are not called, they're never going to wake up. Okay, but there are a lot of people that are asleep right now, that God loves you and he loves everybody, but he's called you to wake up because he has a purpose for you. And that's what we need to understand during this time. I'm not a prophet, and I've been given no understanding of why God is allowing this pandemic to happen. But I do know this. The scriptures tell us that everything happens for a reason, and we can choose to take what's going on, and we can make it an opportunity, or we can choose to make it a nightmare. Your choice. See, the Creator has a plan, and that plan is usually going to be fulfilled. Very rare that a human being uproots the plans of the Almighty. Very rare. The Israelites didn't want to endure any more of the slavery, and their frustration got to them quite often through this whole process. And God's just, hold on. I've got a plan. It's an opportunity for us to trust God and to be positive and to not get frustrated when everybody else in the world is doing the opposite of that. And I'm not going to pretend that it's easy. You know, some people have more of a challenge with bills than others. Some people have more of a challenge with, you know, having to work in the midst of this. And I'm not making light of any of that. In fact, you know, that's one of the things that the House of Scriptures is committed to, praying more for people who are having to go through that, having to be on the front lines, or that have difficulties. But I'm going to tell you that we're living at a time where we have to walk by faith, and it's time that the world sees our faith and doesn't just hear about it. You know, we can quote a bunch of verses all we want, and we can walk around and pretend like we got the Bible memorized, but if we're not walking it out, they don't care. They've seen that for hundreds of years. That's nothing new. That's nothing different. That's not distinguished. It's not set apart. It's not different. Our faith has to be an action, or it's not really faith at all. See, the blood of Yeshua ransomed us 3,500 years ago out of Egypt, and it's not our problem, it's not the children of Israel's problem to figure out what God's plan is. It's our I'm not phrasing this right, but what we need to be doing is actually just saying, Father, I'm going to submit to your plan, and help me just to stay positive and faithful during what I can't understand. See, we had a conversation last night at home, And it was brought up, do we really need to understand everything God is doing? And I would submit to you that we've been talking about that for years. There are times we just can't understand. His ways are far above our ways. But can we submit?
Yes.
Absolutely, we can submit. Besides that, does everybody realize that not everything that's going on today is bad? Show of hands just to the people in here. Driving in and out of your neighborhoods, have you seen more people, families walking together?
Yes.
Doing things together? Yes. We saw people in our backyard sitting around together as a family. Does that happen often? Typically, the dads work late hours. A lot of moms have to work. Kids are running to and fro in school and different things and soccer practice. It's very rare. More families are doing things together than ever before. Dads are home, working moms are home, the kids are home. And before you start saying that's a recipe for disaster, let me suggest to you, it could be a recipe for reconnecting to your family. See, it's all about how do you choose to approach it. How do you choose to approach it? You know? One man quipped, and I saw this, I thought it was funny, I'm sorry, I've got to read it. He says, I looked over at the woman on the couch beside me the other day, and I thought, she's quite nice. His wife. He'd forgotten how to just spend time with his wife. He'd forgotten how much he loved her and enjoyed her. And many of us today are strangers in our own houses. Take this precious time to reconnect with your family, for crying out loud. You know? Cut back on Facebook. Not till after this message. But cut back on Facebook. Do some things with your kids. Men, be the priests of your home. Instill some courage and give some encouragement to your wives and your children. Lift them up so that they aren't in fear and that they're not exactly made like us. Pink and blue are different. And it's okay. We're both valuable, but sometimes, men, you got to raise up and you got to be the priest of your home so your family doesn't worry. Be the encourager you were designed to be. And let's never find ourselves grumbling and moaning. You know why? Because many times we read in the scriptures that Moses is told, listen, they're not grumbling against you, Moses. They're grumbling against me. Do you want to be guilty of grumbling against the Almighty? So this brings us to the final plague after they've gone through those next six plagues. And this is the one that will free the Israelites from their captivity. This is the one that will allow them to leave Egypt permanently, unfortunately, just physically speaking. See, the 10th plague is the story of Passover. And this plague is not going to happen to the children of Israel, but there's a condition, isn't there? See, Father, in his infinite wisdom, chose to give them some instructions regarding Passover. And if they were going to be obedient and follow those instructions, then this plague would not fall on them. Now, does anybody want to venture a guess what would have happened had they chose not to be obedient? They probably would have had the same thing happen to them as the Egyptians. It would not have gone well for them. So do you think that through all these six plagues that are not affecting the children of Israel, they're in Goshen, they're protected, but they're seeing it all around them. There had to be some people close by. You think they don't hear the wailing and the screaming? When they're going to do bricks during this time, because we really don't know how long this process lasts. We know for sure this is not 10 plagues, 10 days. Okay? There are several places where we see that it's a full week happens, and we can only guess, but weeks or months are taking place in this time. Do you think while they're making bricks, they're not having to deal with taskmasters that have boils on them and had to put up with all the locusts and put up with all of these plagues? Do you think it's not a little miserable for them? They know what's going on. Do you think that during this time, even though they are protected, they may still have had a little fear and anxiety? Okay, let's be honest. They're just now experiencing this Creator for the first time in their lives, personally, face to face. So what I'm trying to explain to you is if you have a little fear or anxiety or stress creep up in your life, I'm not condemning you for having that, but I'm telling you that there is hope if we will just look at the scriptures and we will heed the advice that was given in the scriptures. It's kind of like sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's what do you do with that temptation. So when fear creeps up, we are told that that's a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. It creeps up on you and starts telling you all the things that are going to happen bad. You need to know what the Word of God says because that's what you need to heed. And the Word of God says, I will watch over you and protect you. And there's some conditions sometimes. Not always. Salvation is free. But there's a lot of the blessings that come from the Almighty that have conditions. And we're going to just take a brief look at these. But they're getting ready to come out of Egypt, and my guess is that they still had some of those feelings. They weren't sure what was going on. Moses comes and tells them what's going to happen. You're going to have to take a lamb into the household on the 10th of the month. You're going to have to keep it, and then on the 14th, you're going to have to sacrifice it, and you're going to have to put blood all up one side, across the lintel, and then down the other side. Tell me that doesn't sound like something crazy. Now listen, I know this is 3,500 years ago, but as far as we know, never been done before in the history of the world. Never been asked. The father asked him to do something outlandish, at the very least. I would suggest to you, if he came and he told his children today to do it, many would say, you're crazy. I'm not doing it. They were told to do this. And they said, if you will do it, I will protect you. I will pass over you, and it will not come into your home, and it will not harm you. So we have this virus that is all around us. You know, it's grown exponentially in the last two, three weeks, right? It's still being dwarfed by the flu, but it's appearing like if this continues much longer, it's going to pass the flu now. And maybe some of you known somebody who's gotten sick. You know, I just found out today that my niece in New York City has got it. She's young and she's healthy, and I believe she's going to be okay. Many of you may have heard of a friend or know somebody who's actually lost a loved one. It seems to be mostly the elderly and the people who have an immune system that's deficient, but we don't know that 100% for sure. Well, we do know it's awful no matter what. Nobody wants to see anybody pass at any age for any reason. It's awful. But perhaps God is saying, hey, over here, focus on me. Stop looking out there at what you can see. Focus on me. Do you think I cannot handle this? Do you think this is it's too big for me? It's too my arm's not long enough to handle this? Do you think I can't take care of you? Father's saying, you can trust me. He was telling them back then, you can trust me. See, faith isn't faith when times are good and there's no need for it. It's only really faith when we have to exercise it, right? Otherwise, it's just something we talk about. Yeah, I've got faith to move mountains. What have you ever done with it? Oh, nothing. Never had to use it. Okay. It's not a criticism of you, but it's just like, we don't really know if you have faith until you have to exercise it, to use it. And I would suggest now is the time to start practicing using your faith. Exodus 12 gives us an outline of instructions that the children of Israel were given so that they would be protected for this final plague. And I thought, let's read a good portion of this in Exodus chapter 12. Because it shows us some of these things that they're going to have to do that just sounds crazy at the time, but the father's basically, he has a message for them. And we'll get to that right after we read this. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now Jehovah said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, each one is to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb should be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it between the evenings. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And then going down to verse 12, it says, "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all of the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am Jehovah. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." When you read this, we are tempted to think it's just an old story that happened 3,500 years ago. But when you read it completely, I want you to be thinking about the fact that this is so relevant to us today because Yeshua Messiah was a shadow picture of the first Passover. Yeshua the Messiah is the one by which we have hope to a resurrection. And there's a couple things out of this passage I want to focus on as we get to our close. See, the final plague had a condition, didn't it? It had a condition. If you do this, I will do this. See, we've been taught so often throughout our past by various different peoples that there is no conditions to any of God's promises. And that's just a partial truth. There are some things that God did that were unconditional. He placed a bow in the sky saying, "I will never flood the earth. No condition on us." He offered salvation to any of us with no real conditions, but there is the idea that you have to accept that salvation and you have to choose to follow Yeshua, but there's no earning it. It's just something that you accept and you receive and say, "Yes, Father, I will follow your son Yeshua." That's what I call an unconditional free gift. God asked them back in this day and time to do something crazy. It had never been done before, but the ones who did it were protected. They were protected, and none of their house was affected by this plague. With this judgment coming down, it's not possible for us to say for sure, but I would suggest to you that many of them were still struggling with fear, anxiety, stress, worry. Think about this. You've been a slave and you've lived in this land for however many years they were there. And your Redeemer comes, you know, through the hand of Moses. Your Redeemer shows up, says, "Hey, I'm here on behalf of the Father. We're going to take you out of the land." If somebody came and did that to you today, do you not think for one second you'd start thinking about the logistics? Well, how are we going to go? How are we going to provide for ourselves? The desert's really hot. You know, there's a lot of things out there that bite and hurt. We'd be thinking about a lot of this stuff. That's normal, right? But they obeyed. The scriptures are simply God's instructions, and we are never going to understand them fully at times. The more we study, the more we pray, the more we submit to Him, the more He reveals to us. And then the more we study, the more we pray, the more He reveals to us. But there is never a promise that we will understand every word from Genesis to Revelation. And certainly, we're never going to understand everything that is part of His plan for the final redemption of mankind. His instructions bring about blessings. His instructions are always for our good. Name one instruction in the Bible that is designed to make you miserable, that is designed to make you a horrified example before the nations. No, they're all for our good. They're all to lift us up. They're all for us to be a light to the nations. Every one of them. And basically, His instructions are the one way we're told in the Bible, New and Old Testament, that we can show God that we truly love Him. There is no other way. There is no other way that we can truly show God that we love Him other than what He has told us, which in both Testaments is, "If you love me, just follow my instructions." Exodus 15:26 says, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of Jehovah your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah your healer. Now I grew up and I heard in many, many circles about Jehovah Rapha. Anybody ever hear about Jehovah Rapha? We sang songs about him. I heard all about him. But nobody ever read the whole verse. He said, he's Jehovah Rapha. He's your healer. Well, in one verse, he gave the instructions of how we can guarantee that we can receive those promises. See, we can't separate the obedience from the promise that he gives for the obedience. Deuteronomy 7 says much the same thing, and we're not going to read it today, but I suggest you go back and read the chapter. It's a re-giving of the law, the instructions of God to the children of Israel right before they're going to come out of Egypt. And he says, listen, if you will do this, I will not bring any of these diseases upon you. So what does this all come down to? What is God doing with the Passover? God is establishing his covenant with his children. See, it's my personal belief, and I think most of the people here at the House of Scripture, that God never instituted a religion of any kind. We were never designed to be religious people. We were designed to be covenant children. Passover is a covenant meal. That's why it says that nobody is supposed to partake of the Passover unless they're part of the covenant. You can't be part of a covenant unless you know what the covenant says. And the covenant is wonderful and beautiful, and it's for our benefit. As a child of God, you're supposed to be separate. You're supposed to be distinguished. I love that word, don't you? When I was a kid, I always wanted to be distinguished. That's what we're supposed to be. Distinguished. It's cool, isn't it, Rich? Do people see that in you, or do we blend in like camouflage? When I moved to LJ, I used to wear camo, and Cornelius said, we're back in Canton, no more camo. Can't do the camo. But the bottom line is, do we blend in, or are we separate? Are we distinct? Are we distinguished? Are we something that draw people towards us? See, as a covenant child with God through Yeshua, see, everybody's got this relationship with Jesus and Yeshua, but they don't realize that Yeshua came to bring us back to the Father. It's everything. We don't leave Yeshua on the side. They're equal in some way. It's another part of the scripture that we just can't fully understand, right? But they're distinct. Yeshua sits at the right hand of the Father. He came to speak only what the Father told him to speak. We love, we respect, and we honor both of them when we keep the Passover. Paul wrote some 25 years after Messiah's gone. And we get confused by Paul, don't we? I'm trying to phrase this just right. And it's not always easy with me. Paul he's written some things that have caused us to get confused. See, Paul was never confused. Peter said they're hard to understand, but he was never confused because he knew the scriptures. But Paul wrote this 25 years after Messiah. See, Paul never got the memo that when he died on the cross, it's all done away with. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, if you read this in context, there is zero question this is about the Passover. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See, Passover is part of the feast of unleavened bread. Paul is telling Christians, listen, he's not writing to the Jews in Corinth. He's writing to people who are following Messiah. That's what the term Christian means, a follower of Messiah. And he's writing to the Christians, and he's saying, Christians, you Gentiles who used to practice things that were unholy, but now you've been drawn into a covenant relationship with the Almighty through the blood of Yeshua, and now you're a follower of Messiah, Yeshua, Christians, you are to keep this feast, but keep it as with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I know everyone out there is thinking, and you probably have some people like, no, don't do it. It's a feast of the Jews. You don't have to. He did away with all this stuff. And my one question to you, if you really truly say you love Jesus or you love God, who told you that? Where is that written? The reality is those people who would tell you that are partially right. You don't have to keep it because you know what? This is a choice. The covenant is a choice. Belonging to Messiah is a choice. No one's forcing you to do it. You have a choice. Do you want to follow Yeshua? Or do you want to just fit in with the world? It's a choice you have to make, unfortunately, every day you wake up. Because everything he tells the seven churches is, endure to the end, then you will be saved. See, we have the assurance of salvation today, and that assurance is given to us when we accept Yeshua. The actual physical salvation that gets us out of this mess comes when we are face to face. Panim el panim. Paul writes to us, imitate me as I imitate the Messiah. When Jesus said, follow me, what he was saying is, come, imitate me. Come, live a life like me. Come, do the things I do. Because I'm going to show you the way the Father wanted it to be from the beginning of time. See, we should count it all joy that we have the opportunity. What an amazing opportunity to be called into the family of God and have the opportunity to honor our King, Yeshua, and the Creator of heaven and earth by keeping the feast that they gave to all believers for eternity. When you say it was done away with, you're saying God was wrong. You're saying the Scriptures are wrong. You know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it says right in the Bible, in two places, it says God can't change and Yeshua can't change. They never change. So why did you think they changed? It's an opportunity we have to choose to honor our King. It's an opportunity to celebrate what he did. And what he did on the cross is no small matter. It's time we cast aside traditions that have no value or holidays that had nothing to do with Yeshua and embrace the power and the truth that is found inside the holy days of God that he assigned for his children for all time. He did not assign it just to the Jews. The Jews are a wonderful people who have preserved them. But he assigned it to all of his children, the Israelites. And Paul tells us in Romans 11 and Ephesians 2, we are grafted in by the mercy that was extended to us by Yeshua Messiah. It is not a feast of the Jews. It is a feast of the Israelites, the children of God, of which the Jewish people participate in. So let's finish this up. Passover, what does it represent? It represents your covenant with Yeshua as your Savior. It represents your God telling you, don't worry, I have this. Do you think this is any worse than the death angel coming through? Passover is an appointed meeting where the Father says, my child, come. Guess what? I want to spend time with you. I mean, how awesome is that? Look it up. It's a moed or a moedim. He wants to spend time with us, his children. That gives me chills. Passover is your redemption and your reconciliation to the Creator who made you. And I would suggest to you, these are just some of the reasons we should want to honor our God and we should want to honor our Messiah the way they asked to be honored. So during this time of crisis that the world is going through and the time of partial shutdown that we're going through, I'm grateful that we're able to gather here today. Is it so bad that we have to sit 6 feet apart? It's not really that bad, is it? Is it more important that we're able to be here and honor our King? Amen. So during this time of crisis, it's time for us to be separated, distinct, different, distinguished, holy, set apart for God's purpose, and that's the key. Are you figuring out how to give your own kingdom a boost when this ends, or are you figuring out how you can be better suited for God's kingdom? Why don't we start asking, how can we change so when this ends, we can serve Him in a more functional and better way? You know, I own a business, and I do think about the employees, and I do think about things like that, but my number one priority right now is, Father, what are you trying to change in me so that I can serve you more efficiently in the future? And I think that is the heart of the entire leadership here. Hopefully, we have much more time to fulfill the things that God has called each and every one of us to fulfill for his kingdom. Hopefully he's given us a lot more time to do the things that we enjoy doing, which is coming together in fellowship and eventually getting back to Oneg, where we eat dinner together and where we can hug each other again and really truly enjoy family. Hopefully that will come about very soon. But I would suggest to you, why worry? Because all the worrying in the world isn't going to change a thing. See, here's the problem. If God has a plan in all this, and he does, why would you want to be praying against the plan that he has set out that is always for the good of those who love him? It's time to start exercising the faith that we say we have, and let's start showing the world we have a little bit of that faith. Because the day's coming soon. I don't know how soon it is. It could be a year, it could be 100 years, it could be tomorrow. I have no idea. We're going to be before our Creator, and we're going to be on our knees or on our face, and we're going to be before Yeshua, and we all want to hear the same thing, don't we? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come, enjoy what has been prepared for you from the beginning. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just come before you, and I just thank you for all the people in the house of Scripture, both here and at home. I thank you that you've given us a heart to study your Scripture purely as it was written, and to at least try to study to see what the intent of your heart was when you inspired it to be written. Father, I thank you that we do truly act as a family, and that we do love one another, and we take care of one another. And I pray that at this time, when things are challenging, I pray that each and every person would trust in you fully and completely, but also lean on each other. We need each other to encourage, to lift up, to give strength when times seem bleak. And your scriptures in Psalm 91 always ring in our ears. Every week we talk about it, we read it, where it says 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But it's time we actually started really believing that. Reading is great. Saying you believe it is great, but it's time we started acting like we truly believe that. And you know, there's going to come a day and time when it's time for us to come home to be with you. We have appointed a set number of days that you've appointed, you've appointed for us. We can't add one to or take one away from that. You have appointed our time. Let us use that time well. Let us not worry. Let us focus on you. Let us not give in to the spirit of fear. Let us cast that spirit to the ground where it belongs, and let us walk away from it. Let us focus on you, focus on your hope, and let us truly focus on the fact that our only true real hope is in your eternal kingdom. That's where we set our eyes, that's where we fix our eyes upon you, and that is where our hope is. And I'm going to close with the Aaronic benediction that the priests were to speak over the children of Israel, Yivarekaka Yehovah v'ishmerekah. Yair Yehovah panavalecha vihunecha. Yisai Yehovah panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. Shem Yeshua. Amen and amen.